Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This has now somehow devolved into a analyzing Pecorine's postseason career conversation here on the program. I got a texture that says, I've been a Preds season ticket holder since day one and love Pekka, but he has multiple game seven blowups under his belt leading to getting pulled. Was he clutch in the postseason besides the cup run? I think he has one game seven blowup, and that was against Winnipeg. I don't really recall many other than that. I mean, look, were there times where he didn't have a great postseason? Sure. It was also, back in 2011, some of the best hockey I've ever seen a goaltender play, and it got him to the second round. And in a series where they had no business being in the game against Vancouver, with the team they iced out there, he was awesome. You know, in 2017, he was awesome. Do you think back to the Dallas series and think to yourself,
that's what I was going to bring up.
Pekka was the reason they lost there. Nobody could score a goal. Like, he was fine in that series. So
go back and watch game six at Dallas and tell me Pecorine wasn't clutch in the postseason. He basically put a team on his back all night, and they finally won in overtime. But nah, he was the reason that series went six games.
So again, I don't want this to really devolve into a picking apart Pecorine's postseason career show here on the program, but it's different.
Well, I will say this on, you know, the game seven. I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, it's interesting because he had just taken them on that run. But that was a massive disappointment. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the one goal I clearly remember from basically like behind him where it's like, oh boy.
It's brutal.
You know, yeah. But I mean, that was, hey, no doubt about it. That was a crushing. I mean, that was probably comparable, I guess, to like Tannehill's performance at quarterback against Cincinnati. Huge opportunity. The Preds could have won it all that year. The Titans could have won it all this year. The difference being that Pecorine had done so much over time to prove himself already as a clutch performer in the postseason.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says Ryan Taniota. So the combo of Mariota Tannehill. Is that what we're going with now?
Can we do Mar Ryan or Rikus?
Yeah.
Can we really mix it up? Dennis says the quote pick on Pekka crew is out.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? All viewpoints are welcome.
Well, there is the, and a texture pointed this out, game seven against San Jose as well. But
yeah, you know, that was,
I don't know if that was much on him.
That was a lot more on the people in front of him. Winnipeg was more on him for sure. San Jose was
potentially the worst that I have ever seen Roman Josi and Shea Weber play individually in their careers. And they both happened to do it at the same time. It's pretty incredible.
It really was. I was new. I was like, these guys are supposed to be awesome. Who are these? Great?
What are these guys?
But I like this hot-headed goalie.
Yeah. Back out there smashing his stick on the side of the goalpost. It was good times. William from Madison texting in says, the first-round picks have not been great since the team has been in Nashville. Before Robinson got here, I say Curse, Bullock, Haynesworth, when he was playing for a contract, Johnson, and Lawan were great first-round picks, and none of them are Hall of Famers. This coming from William from Madison on the text line.
That's probably true on the Hall of Fame point. Yeah, the first round is definitely just John Robinson. I mean, Conklin, you know, the good category for sure. You have Conklin and Simmons.
Sure.
I'd put Corey Davis. Corey Davis is one of those, like, he was a good player. He wasn't the number five pick. So how do you judge that? Probably a notch below Conklin and Simmons, but still, like, he was worth considering a second deal. It didn't work out, but it wasn't like Rashawn Evans where it's like, good luck, you know, or some of the, obviously the real bad ones like Isaiah Wilson.
He was nowhere near worth where he was drafted.
No, true. Close. Yeah, no, I agree.
So, but to your point, he's a good player.
Yeah, like, so if you get a good football player, that's like the Corey Davis thing is like, so A.J. Brown should have gone where Corey Davis went, and yeah. Corey Davis should have gone where A.J. Brown went. Well, you drafted them both, so if you put that together, hey, nice receiver drafting, you know?
Yeah. Now, you could be looking for another one.
You got plenty of options. That's where I'd go.
There's plenty of options out there. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Santa in Portland texting in says, you can create stats to support any personal bias. As an example, Ryan Tannehill has been in the Super Bowl just as many times as Karen Rodgers over the course of the past 10 years. It's coming from Santa in Portland. There you go. I guess not a big fan of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. So that means what?
I guess he's just saying, like, if you can make any stat look the way you want to, like Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill have been to the same amount of Super Bowls the past 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, if you're zero. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the QB as a win stat is already problematic, but then if you do just that, man, you can really simplify things.
The QB as a win stat is about to be why Mitch Trubisky is going to be the quarterback of the Colts coming up, 29 and 21 in his career. Keep that in mind.
Won a lot more than he lost. Who wouldn't want that, Colts fans?
Joe, you were obviously up in Indy yesterday for the combine. What were some takeaways that you had in terms of maybe some clues on players coming up, whether they be under contract right now, potential cap casualties, or free agents that are out there, like a Harold Landry, like a Ben Jones? What were some of your takeaways as to some clues that maybe John Robinson and Mike Vrabel offered yesterday to what they could do this offseason?
This is purely my, as I wrote, irresponsible speculation. I'll absolutely engage in some. I feel less convinced that Harold Landry will be back. I don't feel like they don't want him back. You know, some of their comments yesterday could be just preparing you all in case it doesn't work out. You know, he relied on others and all that stuff. But I think if they felt great about Harold Landry being a part of this team, maybe some answers would be a little bit different yesterday. I definitely feel less convinced that Ben Jones is back. I mean, like the Vrabel quote on that, I agree with, like, Chris Harris, we all have the same sort of take on that. It's like, gosh, okay, goodbye, Ben Jones. We'll always appreciate you. I definitely continue to feel like Zach Cunningham. And again, this is where to me, it's like Landry's got to be here. Cunningham would be nice, but sounds to me like they're resolved that Cunningham's coming back. I'm trying to think of what else, who else would be. I mean, those are the big ones, yep. You know, as far as decisions that face them. There was also, we haven't really talked about, there were quite a few questions about drafting, you know, a QB. And, you know, Robinson basically was like, there are some years, basically, yeah, they're going to be prepared. He didn't rule it out at all, as he shouldn't. But, I mean, he did make the point. Some years where you're picking and there's quarterbacks that are, like, they're going one, two, three. And, like, there's no real reason, right, to really investigate guys like that when you know team A, team B, whoever, like, okay, Jacksonville's taking Trevor Lawrence, whatever, right? Sure. But this year it makes sense to do your homework, and who knows? I mean, he didn't rule it out. So there's that too for the Tannehill, like, please get someone behind Tannehill. It's possible if they, again, to me, that has to be this quarterback right here is the future of the Tennessee Titans. Not, hey, let's try to get a quarterback and see what we can do. Like, it's this quarterback, Malik Willis or Carson Strong, whoever it might be that they could get, this is the future of the franchise. And if you do that, well, you're not going to be as great around Tannehill as you want next year, but you also could be setting yourself up because, look, it's like the 49ers right now. I mean, their model is you got to do this with a quarterback on a rookie deal, and it makes it so much easier to do it and build a great team around him.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next as well, well, I think John Robinson's comments yesterday may have also signaled the end for a 2020 draft pick. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I am joined now by a man who needs no introduction. He is the NFL's Coach of the Year from the 2021 season, and he is one of the most successful coaches in the business over the time he has spent with the Tennessee Titans. Let's welcome in Mr. Mike Vrabel.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's so cool to be back in Indy, and I know you have such an affinity for this place, not only being a head coach but an assistant coach, but also a player who competed at the Combine. What was your Combine experience? And do you have any memories from that?
Well, it was good. I roomed with Orlando Pace. So when you room with the number one overall pick, your phone rings a lot. And Orlando decided to go home, and he didn't want to get an MRI or something, so they kept calling the room. I'm like, guys, I really think he went back home to Columbus. He's not here, so you can keep calling the room, but I know that he's not here. And so, you know, when you're the number one overall pick, you're just like, I'm going to go home and wait for the draft.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then, obviously, as a Pro Football Hall of Famer, you're the Coach of the Year right now as we head towards the
Is that something that carries over? Like, it's like,
it,
is
this like a, right? Like,
the reigning, is that actually a thing? I don't know.
Do you get like a badge, like a logo?
I don't know.
Nothing.
You get nothing.
Speech was good.
Early exit from the playoffs.
That was Mike Vrabel earlier this morning on Good Morning Football alongside Pete Schrager. You're a little chummy there with Pete Schrager. What do you think of that, Rex Road? Maybe he does like talking to other people more than you.
Tone down the fanboy a little bit, Schrager. Yeah, what's up with that, Vrabel? Cheating on the Nashville media corps, being all friendly and joking around. Then you come with us, you're just dropping F-bombs under your breath. My gosh.
It's a beautiful sight. Shout out to Mike Road. He was on there for like 8 minutes this morning.
Yeah.
On Good Morning Football. Taking up some airtime.
Nice.
Yeah. Good for him.
You go to one of these events, you know, you talk to all these people. I mean, just in 2 days, I had talked to a million people. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got the question, like, yeah, you know, what about Vrabel? And I always say, hey, if we could take Vrabel in his general life, yes, Vrabel on the practice field, and we could just make that be, you know, speaking to media Vrabel,
yes,
it would be glorious. I'm like, I just want one time to secretly tape the practice field and get it on tape and just run the whole audio. Maybe like my last day in the job, you know. Don't tell Robbie Boren I said that, though.
Yeah.
So last day in the job, I'll just put like, here's the Vrabel practice, my greatest hits of Vrabel on the practice field. Outstanding stuff.
Just let that thing fly out there.
So good creative stuff, you know.
Beautiful stuff. So Joe, there was a comment made yesterday, a very short comment that we discussed a little bit earlier, that has me thinking that the future of a certain 2020 draft pick may be in jeopardy, and that of course is Darrington Evans. We've talked a lot about him. I think if you're a Titans fan over the last couple of years, it's been easy at times to forget that Darrington Evans has been a part of the team. He was a third round pick. He's had a ton of injury issues ever since he came in. He was hurt the whole year this past year and didn't play for the Titans. He was asked about that. John Robinson was asked about that yesterday, and basically his response was, yep, he was hurt the whole year long, did play for us. And that was all he had to say about Darrington Evans. Did the way that J-Rob answered that question signal to you that maybe Darrington Evans is not even going to get another look this training camp, but that he could already be done with the Titans?
Yeah. I kind of took that. Now, there is some important context on that. I want to say they had already called last question, and this was a, like, because that happens a lot, right? Last question, one more. I mean, Robbie yesterday, Robbie Boren, I just mentioned him. I think for Vrabel's like, okay, one more question. The question got asked. Then someone asked a question. One more question. Then someone asked a question. Another question. One more question. You know, it happens. But they said last question, and so this – and so you got like probably 10 people trying to yell the question. And this guy got his voice. I don't know who it was. I wasn't familiar with him. But he boomed it out. What about Darrington Evans? So it was sort of like, we're wrapping this up.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is important to keep in mind. and all that said, yeah, you still could have said, but hey, we really would love to see Darrington get healthy and or whatever. Like, you could have thrown that in there too, and it was more like, yep, he's hurt. So I am less convinced. And honestly, I thought they'd give him another chance. I've kind of changed on that from yesterday.
Well, so what are they going to do at running back? Because we've talked about the Foreman part of this. A lot of Titans fans want to keep Deontay Foreman. I understand why, but I do wonder, like, how much money did Deontay Foreman make himself with the way he played this year? You know, there's Dontrell Hilliard, who I think, I mean, obviously at the end of the year, he supplanted Jeremy McNichols as the third down back for the Titans. So I would think that would be somebody they would like to bring back into the fold here. So what do you do at running back outside of Derrick Henry, of course, if Darrington Evans is not going to be a part of the plans, and who knows what the money looks like for Deontay Foreman?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't, I think you're right. I think Foreman, I think Hilliard is here. That's the one thing I feel good about. I think Hilliard is here, and I think that he is versatile enough. You know, the thing is, Foreman certainly gets more attention, and Foreman was a better runner. I think Hilliard might be the bigger find here for the Titans. And this, again, it kind of goes along with the Nick Westbrook-Akina conversation. Yeah, that's right. It's been a long time since I brought up my buddy NWI.
Number two wide receiver next year.
Yeah, when Vrabel volunteers things about how players are working behind the scenes, pay attention to it. He doesn't do it much. He did it with Hilliard. He's done it with Westbrook-Akina a lot. That matters. Again, like earlier caller about culture and personality and fit and all those things, he puts a high value on that. And I think you can look at a lot of results individually and team-wise in sports and see why he values it. I think Hilliard's here. I just – is it Hilliard is a third down back and they want to try to re-sign Foreman? I mean, do you go out and try to, you know, just find an undrafted rookie? Do you look more like Hilliard is your backup? He's good enough to do that. And McWeapon, you know, the trusty McWeapon back in the fold. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought it would be Hilliard Evans, and now I don't.
Yeah, I thought those were interesting comments from John Robinson yesterday. And then the question becomes, like, you know, if you're Foreman, obviously this is a situation that you're familiar with. You've been with the Titans now a couple of different times. I just wonder for him what the market looks like out there. Like, is there somebody out there that's willing to make Deontay Foreman their starting running back, or at least split carries? Because, you know, like, you have to know if you're Foreman, if Derrick Henry is fully healthy, like, you're not splitting carries. Like, it's not going to happen. Derrick Henry is going to get most of the carries, even if the Titans do change their approach with him a little bit and he, you know, has a reduced workload. You're still talking about Derrick Henry getting most of the carries. A lot of teams in the NFL don't operate that way. They've got, you know, a lead back, and it's not exactly even, but there's a lot of a two-back system around the league, and the Titans are different in that regard.
Yeah, and then from the Titans' perspective, I can see how they would look at it and say, look, Derrick Henry is the guy coming back. He is just coming off his first significant major injury. It'd be awfully nice to have a similar type of back in this offense, the way we do things, who now knows the system, and also someone who you give Derek a series off here, series off there, and it's the same kind of power running attack. So maybe that's part of the whole picture of the money that they want to spend, as they've said, you know what, Foreman's important. And just Robinson was asked about him, and again, we are reading into statements that can be read incorrectly, but the fact that he never said anything like we'd like him back, he just said, man, he really took advantage of his opportunity. I don't know. I'm probably overreading into things.
Dennis on the text line says, are you still high on Marcus Johnson? I mean, it's difficult for me to be high on Marcus Johnson because he can't stay healthy.
Marcus Johnson's really good. Marcus Johnson is good enough to help this team. Marcus Johnson has not been able to stay healthy, and he's just had various soft tissue injuries. So that'll be interesting. I think it's probably worth, considering, having him in the mix for sure. But how do you rely on that? We haven't talked about Julio Jones either. I mean, Robinson was asked about him.
Yep.
And he basically, he's asked, Glennon was pushing on the, just on the health thing, like how discouraging is it? How can you have confidence? And he didn't really, I took his, like he didn't, to me, hint at like them wanting to move on from Julio. I don't really think that's a big thing. Maybe it is, though. Because again, like I'm trying to find the money for different things they might do. It's easier to find money if Harold Landry's not occupying a lot of money. But I think Julio Jones is gonna be back next year. And then nothing that happened yesterday makes me think differently.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith texting in says, y'all sound like Karnak the Magnificent this morning, translating these quotes. Ask Rex Road in parentheses.
Yes.
I can't say I'm familiar with that one.
Little Tonight Show, little Johnny Carson. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It really is. It's what you have. I mean, that's what football season is in early March. It's some dudes running around and like lifting weights and reporters, going to the bar and then crowding around GMs and coaches and trying to guess what they really mean. Awesome. Awesome stuff. This is why it's basketball season, everybody.
Well, don't forget hand size. A lot of talk about hand size, too.
Yeah. Have we gotten into that yet? Do we have some hand measurements yet?
I don't think so.
Kenny Pickett's little doll hands? Are they the talk of Indy yet?
Kenny, are you able to even grip a football? Can you throw one?
Do you need a baby fork for that?
Just incredible.
I'm sorry that we're ripping on Kenny Pickett, but
it's not us. Everybody's talking about his hand size.
I feel bad though. We made a joke at his expense. He's just a kid.
He is. When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, former Nashville Predators defenseman. We'll get his thoughts on a brutal loss last night for the Nashville Predators. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. It was a rough night last night for the Nashville Predators. And to help us talk about it, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring our newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on? How are we doing?
Just settled up here in San Jose, waiting for the next game and hopefully a better result than the one last night. That was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And Skillsy, I thought really from the start, I mean, the third period kind of speaks for itself with, basically getting pushed around and, not executing with the puck and the shorthanded goal you've given up. But I thought really from the jump in that game, they looked a little bit off execution-wise. What were your thoughts on the game, and why do you think that was the case last night for the Predators?
I do agree with you. I'll also add that I gotta tip my hat to Seattle. They played as good a game as I've seen them play. They were fast. They were really top through the neutral zone. The Preds tried to make too many cute plays, but they were kind of forced into a lot of bad turnovers because Seattle was so good through the neutral zone. So it was just so tough for the Preds to get into their rhythm. I thought they had some success when they got on their forecheck. That's how they scored their first goal. Tomasino's goal was set up by just getting a puck in deep and working that forecheck. And I thought they had some success when they could get it through. It just wasn't often enough. And Seattle was hardworking and really just, I think in the end they were down. And I thought the Preds said, "Hey, we're gonna just roll over these guys." And that pushback, that three goal burst that they had, really just powered them through the rest of the game. And they just outworked them. They sensed that this is their chance to finally get a win, and they weren't letting it go.
Yeah, you were talking on the broadcast about sort of, you maybe have the mindset of, hey, let's go in there and blast this team. But you know, you have to, you got to work to get there. You got to be methodical. You got to be careful. And they did that and they get the lead and then they get the, then they open it up. And it, I you know, at that point, like, to me, it just almost felt like, okay, now you got the separation. All right, here we go. Cruise to the finish and then boom, boom, boom. And then the game completely changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that's a you know, like, I know everyone looks at, all right, you're a professional athlete. You should know how to handle yourself. You should know how to play, you know, more like a robot. But there's a human emotion where you're, where you say, okay, we got to play this way. You try to play that way. You, and like you said, you get the lead and you say, it's just human nature to say, all right, and I'm going to, we got this game now. Now we just have to finish it off. And it's also human nature for Seattle to say, oh my God, we're going to get embarrassed in front of our home crowd again. Like, this is not, you know, they've had such a hard season. I think that was just like a blast that said, hey guys, we just got to try to fight for each other. And they did. And I give them credit. That 3-goal burst put them right back in the game and they rode it all the way out. So, there's no excuse. I'm not giving the Preds any excuses, and they know that's not their game, and they need to be better than that. But it is a human game, and you have to deal with those emotional ups and downs.
What do you think, Hal, of just the spot that the Predators are now in? They've lost 6 of their past 8. I mean, I think they've played well in some of these games that they've lost, for sure, but the results are what they are at this point. They've lost 6 of their last 8, and the cushion that was there against teams like Dallas is now gone in the standings. What do you make of kind of the spot that they're in and the rut that they've been in from a results standpoint after the All-Star break?
Well, it's tough because you can look at it and say, hey, you know, we played some pretty good teams, Carolina, Florida, Tampa. It's been a battle all the way through. But you also have to be pretty honest with yourself that, you know, if you're going to give yourself grace when you lose to a pretty good team, you also have to say, all right, if that's going to happen, you better win when you're playing a team below you. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, results are what they are, and in the end, you need wins. You know, if you want to make the playoffs, you need wins. You don't need good games and good efforts. And, hey, we almost had them. So, yeah, I think there has to be a sense of urgency right now. I don't think it's a panic, but certainly an urgency that, hey, guys, we were a good team, and we were doing what? What was it that we were doing? You know, like, what was our identity, and can we get back to that? Because ultimately, I think they're winning because they're setting up their forecheck. They had the beast line going out and jumping over the boards and putting fear into other teams, and then you got timely scoring from your good players, from your elite players. And so you have to get back to that. You just can't hope that things are going to happen because you're a good team now. You need to make them happen. And so, you know, I think John Hines senses that too. He's got a pretty good pulse on this team. And I think the urgency is going to go up. And I think it's going to, my guess is it's going to happen in a shift in ice time. You know, I think there's going to be certain guys that are going to play more. And not necessarily because you're just scoring goals, but because you're playing the right way. I think that has to be an emphasis coming up in the next game here in San Jose.
Now, one play I wanted to ask you about in particular, you know, the Colin Blackwell shorthanded goal. Is that, as a defenseman, is that as simple as Roman Josi should just gone to the body rather than try to go for the puck there?
There's there's so many problems that I have with that. First of all, you know, I was a penalty killer, so I appreciate when someone on the penalty kill goes and outworks a power play. And there's nothing that guts you more as a player when you're watching your power play get outworked. And that was just a penalty kill. You know, Yanni Gord goes in and just takes the puck from Forsberg and goes around the net, and no one got back in time to cover Colin Blackwell, and he gets a pass out in front. He gets 1, 2, 3 chances and then Roman Josi is coming in. It's like that can't happen. You know, it's you, I know you got five guys on the ice compared to four, but that doesn't mean you can just hang out and expect that they're going to stop. And I'll give Blackwell credit and Yanni Gord, like they're going for it. You know, there's no fear in their game. They're going to go and try to get the puck, and they just outworked them. And so, yes, Roman Josi certainly should come back and take him out of the play. And, yes, Forsberg certainly shouldn't turn the puck over behind the net. But it's all five guys on the ice. Everyone should have been aware of what's going on and get back. Take care of your defensive end first, because that's, you know, in my mind, that's just embarrassing when a penalty kill gets a goal like that where just no one's around.
Yeah, no question about it. Hal Gill, all the line with us here, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. So, Hal, we saw John Hines at the beginning of the game last night kind of tinker with the lines a little bit, move Janot up there with Johansson, and he moved the lines around again as the game went on. I'm curious from your perspective. It seems pretty obvious right now that they are searching for a combination to play with Johansson that works. I think they feel good about the way that he's played for the most part, but they've been rotating his wingers left and right. How difficult is that to nail down if you're John Hines with two other lines in Sissons and Granlin going as well as they are? And, you know, what do you think the Predators can do to find somebody that can click up there with Johansson? Could that maybe be something that you may have to target at the deadline if you're David Poile?
Yeah, no, it's certainly something to consider. I think I was real impressed with that McCarron line was with Tolvanen and Tomasino. They got the one goal. They had some good, got on the forecheck, played hard. They had some good chances, good looks. So I was impressed with that line, and so that's why I think Tomasino and Tolvanen got the call up at the end of the game to play with Johansson, but I think if you look at how things are going, you have the baseline with Janot, Sissons, and Trennan that really identifies your team. That's your identity line. They go out there, they play on the forecheck, they do things right. You don't want to break that up. And then you have Granlin playing with Forsberg and Duchesne in the year that those guys are having, this offensive powerhouse there. They're finally that first line that we've been looking for. So you don't want to break them up. And then you have Johansson, and they tried Tolvanen, they tried Tomasino. Cunning seems to stick there. Cousins has been really effective on that line at times. So there's so many different ways you do it. And so you say, okay, maybe if you bring up Luff can fill in and be that guy that keeps that beast line going while Tanner Janot, who's having a great year, goes up and makes some more room for Johansson and gets on the forecheck and then also can put the puck in the net. And so I think it was time for Hines to try to tinker with it, but I really don't think he likes tinkering with it. I think he likes the beast line. I think he likes that first line with Granlin, Duchesne, and Forsberg, and he wants to stay with that. It's just how do all the other pieces go together, and you don't want to mess with what's good in order to fix what's not going well. So I think there's more tinkering going on there, and if there's a deadline move that, you know, I'm not saying it needs to be a big player that goes on that second line, but there's certainly something to consider when you're looking at how that four-line system plays out, because, you know, it's kind of a tough one when you have a game that you think you're going to whoop a team and your fourth line goes out and really is the most effective line, then you start to reconsider things.
Yeah, no question about it. Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hal, tell us about your friends at Dunkin'.
Yeah, well, you told everyone about our new location here at 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. That'll be a March 11th grand reopening, so check that out. That should be fun. We'll do a little party there and have some fun with it. But there's new spring items that are coming out. The new salted caramel cream cold brew, Shamrock Macchiato with Irish cream swirl. You know, St. Patrick's Day is coming around the corner, so that might be nice. a roasted tomato toast. You can get that with hummus or with avocado. And a lot of other delicious items as well. Try the chocolate croissants. There's something for everyone there. I love my egg sandwiches there. I get a sausage, egg, and cheese. Try it with a cinnamon raisin bagel. It's delicious. And, of course, the best coffee. So go out there. My favorite coffee. Go treat yourself to one and go get your dunks.
Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hal, appreciate you, brother. Have fun out in San Jose.
All right. I'll try to keep myself busy, guys. Thanks.
I'm sure you will. Hal Gill joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. We'll come back. We'll react to what Hal had to say there. Get your thoughts on the Predators. I thought, honestly, a horrible performance last night from the Predators. We'll get your thoughts on that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Sure. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
So my best, very simple. It's basketball. And I'll give a shout-out to Ja Morant for sure. He's been amazing. But mostly it is college basketball. One of my favorite times of the year. We are here. It is tournament time. I'm pumped today for some SEC women's tournament at Bridgestone. Be there all day.
Shout-out Shea Ralph.
Shea Ralph and Vanderbilt destroy Texas A&M. Yesterday to earn a shot at Florida today around 2:30 at Bridgestone. Really, you know, interesting story. They've been under the radar. They got a losing record. But, you know, you're talking about first year for a coach who took over, obviously, a program that's been down. And I think there's a lot of encouraging signs with that. That's going to be interesting. Tomorrow, Tennessee gets into it with the late game, and we'll see what they can do as banged up as they are. But you got Belmont, you know, Lipscomb is alive, and it's the Lipscomb men. Belmont men, of course, have a chance. I mean, I think there's still a good chance that Saturday they are playing Murray State with an NCAA bid on the line. And, you know, I don't like their chances, but they got a chance. Both MTSU teams are really good. I mean, the MTSU men have been one of probably the biggest surprise around here. And, you know, you come down to Vols in Arkansas, huge game before that tournament gets going next week. It's a beautiful, wonderful time of the year. That's my best.
Nice.
My worst is football.
Okay.
The NFL Combine is so stupid. I hate it so much. I hate it so, so much. And look, again, it's just – it was good to see some old friends this week. Got to meet some coworkers that I only knew from Slack before. Good to get some interviews in. Get to see all the GMs and coaches at the podiums there. So like, it's fine. These interviews, it just continues from here. Like Jared yesterday, as I'm driving home, he's like, "What, you're not staying for the drills?" And I think I said like, "I'd rather eat my foot." But seriously,
you said your toe.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty gross. So I'm sorry. Although I'm not sorry for those of you who like the sounds of that.
Yeah.
Sean, text line, driven by WilsonGunHoney.com. You know who you are. But it's just, if I ever get caught, like in the last, I don't know, 10 years. So the last thing that I remember, in the last 10 years, I think I can recall one, like DK Metcalf's 40. Okay, that was, and you know, I saw it after, whoa, okay. Like, if I ever watch any of that stuff, someone needs to smack me in the face. And, hey, all due respect to all of you who do watch. People watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's turned into a show. Congrats to the NFL. They figured out a way to, like, people creating spreadsheets. They can get that watched on television. I don't know how, but they figured out. It is the most overrated, idiotic thing in sports, the NFL Combine.
Oh, I love it. Very well done, Joe Rexroad. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so I'm going to start my worst thing in sports.
Okay.
My worst thing in sports is this Saturday is Coach K's last game in Cameron Indoor Arena. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the ticket prices for this game, if you go to StubHub, the cheapest ticket is $3,900, and the tickets are averaging at about $5,300. I get it. It's a very historic day and everything like that. But I guess maybe from my perspective is I went to a school where it was so hard to get basketball tickets. Like as a student, those are the, you want a huge student section. That's the spirit, the just love of the game. You want your students there. And I feel like when, like, nobody's going to be, no students are going to be able to go. It's just going to be all people who are rich and who can afford it and alumni and everything. And that just got me.
I don't know. Some of that Duke money floating around, they may be able to get in there.
Yeah, I know. But like, I don't know. It just made me sad for the students because, I mean, I know there's probably a lottery or something and there's some way that they could get tickets, but it's so hard to get it and it's get them and it's so frustrating. And yeah, I just saw that and it made me mad for people. Or people who like normally go and they're like, well, I can't afford that. That's like 3 months rent or something. Or in this case, Joe, in Nashville, that's 2 months rent.
Yeah. Joe, you heading up there for the Cameron Indoor Crazies?
Man, it might be a little bit less spittle on you in a game like this. You know, a little bit more of a wine and cheese crowd, huh?
Yeah, right? So. Exactly. Okay. And my best thing in sports, it was going to be SEC basketball, kind of like Joe touched on. I was just going to say, the men's SEC basketball, it has not been this competitive in so long, which it's just so awesome. Every game, I'm so excited to go down to Tampa next weekend to see the tournament. But my main best in sports, my high school, our high school varsity hockey team, they got number one on SportsCenter's top 10 plays. And I tweeted it out under our game account. But just shout out Shenandoah High School, our Shen hockey team. One of our players, he like gets hit and then he like slides on his butt and then he like scores the goal. Pretty sick. I tweeted it out. But yeah, shout out my high school, Clifton Park, New
York. We actually saw this on the top 10 the other day.
I had no idea it was your high school.
I had no clue it was your high school. Oh, yeah. We saw it.
Like, and I was sitting in here.
Top 10. You were. And I was like, wow, what a goal there. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
I thought it was a college. That's why I was like, who is it? What is it? Yeah, I thought it was a college game. So
yeah,
I didn't even know that. Well, shout out my high school.
That's pretty sweet. It's good stuff. All right, my best thing in sports. I've got a combo best thing in sports. Ja Morant is the most fun player to watch in all of basketball right now. If you're not watching Ja Morant, I would encourage you to do so. I know there's Steph Curry and LeBron still doing his thing. I'm not saying he's the best player in all of basketball, but I think he is the most fun to watch right now. And this week has been no exception. So Ja Morant gets part of it. And I will say, I spent many a time yesterday, Joe, after we read the article from Field Yates, pondering what it would be like to have Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. So that's my best thing. The idea of Mitch Trubisky being the quarterback for the Colts. I have to see this happen now. Get out of here, Carson Wentz. We're bringing in Mitch Trubisky, and the Colts are going to the Super Bowl.
That sounds beautiful.
It does. I'm sure Titans fans would love to see Mitch Trubisky in there. My worst in sports is pretty simple. Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. You've allowed yourself now to enter into, you know, March without having a deal done. And, you know, the deal itself, I don't really care about. Like, honestly, if baseball misses 45 games this year, I could not care less. And I don't know that most people would be able to care less. Like, at that point, you're still playing like 120 games or whatever it would be. But just Rob Manfred the other day getting up to the podium and like joking around and laughing and practicing his golf swing before he walks up there and all this other stuff while you're supposedly trying to work your butt off to get a deal done, I thought was just a really bad look. I think he's largely been an idiot ever since he's taken over Major League Baseball anyway, and this has just reinforced that this week. He is the worst commissioner in all of sports, and it continues to be on display.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's that's the clear best worst thing in sports this week. Yeah. Embarrassing. It's disastrous. And look, I'm old enough to remember saying in 1994 when they ended the season, they did not finish the season, I'm done with baseball. Yeah. And did I stick with that? No, but I stuck with that for a few years. And you're going to alienate some people with this. It's really bad. I go to the text line real quick for Nate.
Yep.
Driven by WilsonCunningham.com. Said the worst thing in sports, Jerry versus Joe. Not only have we found out it's rigged, there was zero handshake line suit discussion yesterday that I was looking forward to. Now, Caroline Fenton and I have had a nice little text exchange here in the break. She's making me laugh. But that's another thing to the Tannehill tattletales. How do you not bring up Jared's terrible suit take? Like, we have chances to rip on Jared.
Yeah.
You got to jump on these opportunities.
I even tweeted the video of you putting your suit on.
You did.
Before it. I was ready.
I mean, like, Caroline comes up with the topics, and that should be, you know, like, people shouldn't interfere.
I think Caroline's probably so tired of talking about suits that she just purposely was like, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Or is Jared bribing the judges?
Well, could be.
Do we have a scandal on our hands?
She also has to work with him every day, though, so.
That is true.
Shout out, Caroline. We love her. My girl.
I mean, hey, believe me. Talk about, you know, double her salary. I feel like if I listen to an hour of that, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Talk about Stockholm syndrome. You know?
Got a text that says need to give Vol Nation and the boosters a big shout out for raising a ton of money for Zakai Ziegler's family with the house fire.
That's a great best and worst.
Yeah.
You know, the worst is like that his family house burned down. The best is what's the number at now? I meant to look that up today.
$300,000. I just checked.
Yeah, it's a lot.
They're going to have like the sweetest, like, you know, Upper East Side apartment in Manhattan, you know, like,
yeah.
That's, but I'm not surprised at all. Like, this is where the power of Vol Twitter can be an awesome thing in the good way. Dennis already has Tannehill's Tattletales shirt done.
Yes. Chris on the text line is a great one, too. Says the best thing in sports is, I've not found the story specifically, but I heard Fitz talking about it on ESPN radio the other night. The group of Titans fans who were coming together to help a Titans fan in Ukraine get out of the country. And I think Fitz said something about a Titans fans in Germany waiting at the border. If you missed that, Jared was all over that the other day as well on his show of, you know, a Titans fan escaping Ukraine. They went to Romania, eventually hoping to get to Germany on that front too. Lots of money raised on that front. So good to see him and his family get out of Ukraine.
Yeah, great one. A lot of great candidates this week, and more good than bad,
which is a refreshing change of pace.
Though the bad is bad.
The bad is bad. There's no question. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Harris from Channel 4. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the NFL Combine, and his question that got an emotional reaction out of John Robinson yesterday. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.